to think about what the kids do in the church. And some of the kids are sitting up here up front today. I'm sorry, I may not have gotten all the children to get them all up here, and I apologize for that. And for those I asked to move so that we could get them all up here, Andrew and Jake, my parents, Frankie, I appreciate you doing that so that we could get everyone up here this morning and talk about this. Three things I want to suggest to you, although this lesson is more for children, I think all of us will get some very good things out of it. The first one is, your job as a child is to be a good example. And I want us to go over to Matthew chapter 18. We'll talk about Mark 10 in a moment from our scripture reading. But Matthew chapter 18, and I want us to look at verses 1 through 4. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And I want us to immediately understand that children teach us very valuable lessons. And as we have children here in the congregation who come to church with us here and come with their families, as they are at home with us in our families, they teach us some very valuable lessons, and we as adults need to make sure we're paying attention to these examples. And Jesus says we as adults must be converted. In other words, we must revert back to the way we used to be when we were a child. And what are some of the attributes that children have when they are so young? They're innocent and humble and sincere and holy and righteous and honest, easily corrected and disciplined. They're repentive and they're loving. You know, you can take a child and that child can be in an abusive family, and that child will still love his mother and father. Just the other day, we saw some child abuse on the news where one parent stopped the car at a car wash and took the child into the car wash and used the power washer on the child to discipline the child. And I hope that person's thrown into jail. But in all probability, that child still loves her mother, because that's the spirit of a child. And so we as adults must be born again, John chapter 3, verse 5, of water and of spirit. And we have to become this innocent, pure, holy, righteous, loving individual we were when we were a child. Turn back with me over to Mark chapter 10 with our scripture reading. Mark chapter 10, and beginning in verse 13. And I want us to notice that people were bringing the children to Jesus so that he could touch them. But what were the disciples doing? Verse 13. The disciples were rebuking these people for bringing the children. And I want us to immediately notice, as adults thinking about this, the Lord's attitude toward children. Was the Lord one, sort of as it was when I was growing up, it was starting to be phased out, where children were sort of in the background, and as a child you didn't really feel like anybody cared about you. As a child, you were to be seen and not heard. Does that seem to be the idea Jesus had about children? The disciples, being the adults, were saying, "Get these children out of here. We've got more important things to do." Here is Jesus, and he's got this teaching, and he's got these miracles, and Jesus is concerned about all sorts of things. He does not have time to mess with children. And does it not seem to be that attitude in our society today sometimes? Why is it we have some sorry parents who are abusing children, who are not bringing them up, who are leaving them all alone to go out and do all sorts of things. Parents who won't even take their children to church when their children beg to go to church. Is that still not a prevalent attitude in our society today? Don't worry about the children. We're adults. We have things we want to do. And just don't worry about them. Unfortunately, in some places, I think, among our brethren, that's the attitude they have toward children. I didn't get anything out of church till I was 20-something years old. I can't ever remember hearing a sermon that dealt with children and the things I had to deal with as a young person growing up. And if it was preached, I didn't understand it. And I promised, as long as I could make a difference with that, it would be different. For us as adults, we must put a priority on our children and not consider them just to be something that's sort of in the background and in the shadow. And let's think about this for a minute. As an adult, how many times do you go out of your way to visit all the classrooms before class and to talk to every one of the children? We enjoy talking to ourselves, don't we? We enjoy talking as adults. We enjoy talking with our friends who are our age, but how many times do we go out of our way to greet the children and talk to the children and get to know them and to know every one of their names? And to make a difference in their life. And I'm guilty of doing that in the past. I'll admit to that. A priority in the mind of Jesus was placed upon the children. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 21. And here Jesus is with the triumphant entry, as we call it. Here the last week of Jesus before being crucified. And he was staying outside of Jerusalem. He was coming into the city during the daytime. And beginning in verse 15. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he, that's Jesus, had done, and the children were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." I want to know where the adults are. Why do we have all of these Jews, ruling Jews, who are to be so smart religiously, and they are not the ones welcoming Jesus, glorifying Jesus, and here are the children, and I want you to notice verse 16. That the Jews, the end of verse 15, became indignant. Verse 16, and this is what they said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself?" Perhaps this is one thing we need to learn from the example of children. In all their innocence, in their love for God, not being corrupted by the world, that they're not afraid to talk about God and to praise God. Maybe we need to learn from that example. We must be like these children and not cower in public and not care if we're going to offend somebody because of righteousness' sake. And if we'd be more like these children, we would be a little more evangelistic. Let me ask you this question. Why is it that the kids are really good at bringing their friends from school, but we're really bad about bringing our friends from work? How come? I think it's because of what we're talking about. They're not ashamed. And sometimes we are. Children, you have a very important job, and that is to be a good example. Because Jesus points to you as being an example us as adults need to look at and to follow in your innocence. You have a very important job in the church. What do you do in the church? You're very good examples. That's one thing. But there are some other things. Children, Your job is to grow physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to notice two things from this chapter about Jesus. You're very familiar with the story of Jesus as he was born, and born in Bethlehem, and because of Herod, he fled. His parents took him to Egypt, and he stayed there for a while. And then they bring him back, now going to Nazareth. That was their hometown. And Luke chapter 2, verse 39. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Children, part of your job is to grow. And you need to grow physically. We'll talk about that just a little bit more. As well as mentally and spiritually. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, you need to learn to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's part of your job. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 15 through 20, in Colossians chapter 3, you need to learn how to develop your mind, because it's with your mind that you serve God to control your bodies. Now turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians 6, and I want to read this scripture with you, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I thought about not reading this, I thought about just referencing it, but in our middle school, high school class just the other day, we got to this scripture and some light bulbs went off, so I said, I'm going to read it. And so here we go, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now this is speaking of our responsibility as Christians, but as children you need to grow up and learn that this is part of your responsibility when you become a Christian, and that is to take care of your bodies. We talked about it in our class. As a matter of fact, I didn't bring it up. The young people brought it up. They said, you mean I have a responsibility to take care of my body? I need exercise. Well, you certainly don't need to lay around on the couch all day and recline in the chair and lay around in bed all day and do nothing. You know, before long, if you did that, you couldn't even get out of the bed long enough to go to church. Yes, the physical is important with the things that we do. And so it says of Jesus that he grew and he became strong. And that's part of your job as children, is to grow and to become strong. And so you'll exercise and you'll eat the things that you need to eat. And you won't eat just all junk food, but when your parents ask you to eat your vegetables, you're going to eat your vegetables, and that's part of it. And Jesus grew in wisdom, increased in wisdom. Now go down to verse 51 in Luke chapter 2. And I want us to look at what it says here. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, it says something else very important about Jesus. Now this is when Jesus went to Jerusalem because of the Passover. And it says in verse 51, and he went down with them, that's his parents, and came to Nazareth, and he continued to subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. I want you to notice this, that Jesus was in subjection to his parents. Children, that's part of your job, is to be in subjection. I want you to understand what this word subjection is all about. Subjection is where you freely give over yourself to obey your parents. Now, I know that they're in the home, and I know they're training you, and they have to discipline you, and you may have different forms of discipline. For me, I had a white chair I had to sit in, and then I, upon occasion, I got spankings quite a bit. I remember one summer, I think I spent every day in that white chair, and I got a spanking about every day. But I also want you to understand that this word subjection means that you freely give yourself over to do what your parents. You have to learn to do this. Not to do it because you're going to get a spanking, but do it because you've decided to do it. Now turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. And verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And I know you know this verse, but I want us to look at it. And it says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, children, I want you to understand, there's only one condition in which you are not to obey your parents, and that is if they ask you to do something that's a sin. If it's not a sin, this is what God says. He says, children, obey your parents. And if they ask you to go clean up your room, the Lord wants you to go clean up your room. If they ask you to turn the channel on the TV, the Lord expects you to turn the channel on the TV. If they ask you to turn off the music, if they ask you to go play outside, if they ask you to be nice to your brother or your sister, whatever it is, that's what the Lord expects. Now I want you to continue reading with me in this verse. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now what is the promise, children? Verse 3. So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now this is a basic principle. If you do what your parents ask you to do, most likely you're going to have a better life. You're going to be trained, you're going to be instructed, you're going to learn the lessons that you need to learn, and your life is going to be much better. You're not going to be getting in trouble like some other people. You're not going to be thrown into jail because you're doing some other things when you're older. You're not going to be in the prison system. You're not going to do other things such as that because you have learned the lessons God wants you to learn. So obey your parents. Let's go over a few more things very quickly. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Now I know that friends are the most important thing for you. And the older you get, the more important they will be. In our middle school, high school class, we talked about this. Who has the greatest influence on you and your decision? We talked about a lot of things, God, the Bible, and all these things like this. But I'll tell you something, friends ranked up very high. Now with the world, friends rank first. They're number one. With Christians, God is first and His Word, but friends are very high. And that's why your parents, young folks, spend a lot of time, energy, and resources so that you can spend time with Christian friends. There's one family that's visited us two times recently, and they have moved down here, quit a job, moved down here for one reason, to get their children in this atmosphere to be around Christian friends. That's the whole reason for all of that. Now I want you to notice and remember, children, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. And I suspect you can quote it. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And let me paraphrase this. Bad friends corrupt good morals. If you choose bad friends, you are going to become a bad person. And you're going to stay a bad person until you get rid of the bad friends. Also, I want you to look at one other scripture with me. In 1 Corinthians, and that is chapter 10 and verse 13. Not only are you learning to pick good friends, but you are learning to overcome temptation. This is your job. You will be faced with temptations, some things for the very first time. And you must learn how to deal with this, trusting in God, making the right decisions, and doing the right things. Sometimes you're going to make the wrong decisions. And you deal with that by repenting and praying about it and getting help, perhaps from your parents. And verse 13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. Young folks, you're going to be faced with temptation. And that temptation, it can be hard sometimes. I remember one time I was at school and some bullies stole my shoes off of my feet. I was out on the playground and I didn't have any shoes to wear. That was a temptation. What am I going to do about that? Am I going to go try and beat them up? Am I going to call them bad names or something such as that? That was a temptation. And you're going to be tempted, and you must understand that God, number one, is not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can deal with. Number two, there's always a way to get out of it that you'll never have to sin. Never, never have to sin. And you're going to have to learn this. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Your job is to grow spiritually. And we've been talking about this quite a bit in our Bible drill, and Chris has done a fantastic job with that. And I want to remind you of one scripture, and that is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Peter says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And Chris has been using this graphic right here. And we've seen it, I don't know, what, about 8 or 10 or 12 times. I don't know, with all the reviews. And young folks, this is where your focus is. Yes, you've got to deal with the physical things, but more than that, you're dealing with this spiritual growth. And we talked about this at great length with our Bible drill, and we talked about each and every one of these. And all of these are working together, and you're growing stronger and stronger and stronger, just like the snowball. You know, the snowball, you get it, starts really small, doesn't it? And then you get a little bit more snow, and maybe you start rolling on the ground, and it grows larger and larger and larger and larger, and it just grows, and it'll just keep growing as long as you want to roll it. And that's the same thing about your faith. That's the same thing about your spiritual growth. It's going to increase more and more and more as you do these things, as you study from the Word of God, and you learn, and you grow spiritually. So your job is to grow physically and spiritually. But also you have a job to worship. And I want you just to go with one scripture with me, and that is John chapter 4. Hey, there's no clock there. I have no idea what time it is. But I'm about ready to wrap up this lesson. John chapter 4. And here Jesus is in Samaria. And children, let me ask you this. And be honest with yourself as you answer the question yourself. How do you look at yourself as you come to this building? Are you coming to worship God? Are you just coming here because it's your parents have brought you here and it's what your parents want you to do? Have you come to worship God? John chapter 4, Jesus says this, beginning in verse 23. "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers." Now I want you to understand this, that God wants you to worship Him. That's what He wants. Some people may ask, what is my purpose in life? What does God want from me? I want to tell you the answer. God wants your worship. And children, God wants you to come. God wants you to worship. He is creator of you and the human race and all that there is. He wants your worship in spirit. Means, children, that your mind and your heart have to be into what we're doing. It means that while we are here doing what we're doing, and I know it can be hard sometimes, you're not thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon. It means when your parents tell you to go to bed early so you can get up and you're rested, that you go to bed early so you don't sit here and sleep. It means that when you're here, and I know it can be hard to keep up with the Bible and we go so fast, but you're looking at the Bible or you're taking notes, as some of you have done so well before, that you are engaged and you're just not idly sitting here. And in truth, is by the Word of God to do the things God has commanded us to do in His Word. You sing, you pray, you study, and you learn. And that's why all of us are here. What can you do? Children, you can be ready for Bible class. Adults, are we setting a very good example for our children? Was everybody here ready for Bible class today? Had everybody looked at their lesson, and everybody, if there's questions to be filled out, everybody filled out their lesson? These things apply to adults too. Children, let me tell you what you can do. You can greet other visitors. I've told you this story before. There was a lady with some kids who visited a church, and they were just looking for a church. And when they went in to visit, the kids went up to her kids, and they got their kids and took them to meet their Bible class teacher and took them to the show in the classroom and all that. And you know what? They are at that church today because of that reason. Why are they there, children? Because of the children there. That's why. You have a very important job in the church. And let me encourage you to take advantage of every opportunity. The Bible drill. And I know I've seen some of you come in, and grandparents or something from some other congregation have had you that afternoon, and they've got to be here for Bible drill. That's good. Let me tell you something, children. Listen up. Your parents do many, many things for you. In my house, I jokingly call it, I'm sacrificing for you. Andrea was out till 1 o'clock in the morning. A little confusing on how to get wherever and all this stuff. She was safe. I knew where she was at. And a little bit later than I thought. A little bit later than she thought she was going to be out. 1 o'clock was after we had changed the clock. 1 o'clock in the morning. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Here's my cell phone. I'm jumping out of bed and says, Daddy, you can come get me now. I said, I didn't know I had to come get you. I said, I'm sacrificing. Listen, children, your parents sacrifice for you. If you want to do something, they're going to help you do it. If you want to be at Bible drill, they're going to help you do it. If you want to stay after, we have a class over here with Scott tonight and with Beth over here tonight for the children. If you want to do that, they're going to work hard and do their best to make sure you do that. What else can you be doing? Children, some of you are the greatest, and maybe all of you. I don't know what everybody's doing at personal work. Adults, let me tell you what. There's some of us that ought to be ashamed because we have little children doing more personal work than the adults do. We should be ashamed. Children, maybe all of you do a fantastic job. I'm going to tell you something. When you go to see someone, the elderly or someone in the hospital, let me tell you what, it means 1,000 times more than when I walk in the door. You're at an age where your impact can be so incredible, perhaps in some ways, you're not going to have opportunity again to do that. Young people, you that can drive, let me tell you what, if you get in your car and you drive over to visit one of our shut-ins or one of our widows or one in the hospital, it's going to mean a lot more than if I get in my car and drive over there. If you're out on a date and you just stop by there for a moment, it's going to only take you an extra 10 minutes. It's going to just make somebody's day. Children, you can continue to do that. And there's some of you, I know, maybe all of you, that is so very good at this. You're going, you're visiting, you're taking things, you're doing things. You're thinking about, even when you're at the store, oh, Miss So-and-so would love this. Can we buy this? And you're doing that. And let me encourage you to continue to do that. And adults, let's look at this example of purity and holiness and love, and let's see if we are doing what we ought to be doing. Children, you can continue to invite people to come with you. And you know, when all my kids are grown and gone, I tell you what, kids are an entrance into people's lives. And I'm going to have to find something else because it's so much easier with kids. Children, keep inviting your friends. Some of you are sending cards. Continue to do that. And maybe some of you are making telephone calls on special days, birthdays, anniversaries, and those things. Continue to do that. Worship God and do His work. And those are the things that you are doing now. Well, the job of a child is not that much different from the job of an adult, is it? And I know it'd be very easy for you this morning as the adults to sit there and have difficulty concentrating. Because I'm not really been talking about things that really directly impact you. Maybe it's sort of good to get the shoe on the other foot, because usually we talk about things that are important to the adults, and the kids have just sit there and try to be interested about things that really don't concern them a lot of times. But I want us to realize, adults, that the things that we do, it's not all that different. We might be leading the congregation as men or serving in some different ways as a lady, but the very basic things are pretty much all the same. So children, I want you to realize that you're not all that different from all the adults sitting here. You have basically, in a lot of ways, the same responsibilities and the same opportunities as everyone else here. And adults, I want us to pay attention to the example of the children. Maybe we need to do a little bit more of that, be converted and become like in our lives. And that would help us out quite a bit. Children, those of you who are very young, you've not obeyed the gospel yet. And you're not old enough to obey the gospel. Well, one day you will be. And it's not a bad time to start thinking about that. I know some of you are. I know some of you have been thinking about it. I know some of you have been talking to your parents about it. It wasn't long ago Ian was baptized, and that was a fantastic thing. And there's other of you, you're going to continue to think about it, and when you're convicted to do that, that's what you're going to do. And that's fantastic. I want to offer the gospel invitation right now. If you'd like to go on and get your song books out and turn to the song number 330, Just As I Am. You know, the Lord takes us just as we are, thankfully. Every person in here, every person in this room needs to change and improve. I don't care if you're the elders' wives, preacher's wife, Bible class teachers, all of us. Fortunately, the Lord takes us as we are. If you're not a Christian, He'll take you as you are. But He'll also ask you to change a few things. First of all, He requires that you believe. That is to put a confident trust and no doubting at all. And He asks you to repent. That is to make the commitment in your life. You know, I'm not going to do those things. I know they're wrong, and I have the commitment right now. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to change my life. And as I grow and mature and I learn, I'm going to continue to grow to the day I die. That's my commitment. And to confess that faith, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then to be baptized for remission of your sins. The Lord will take you just as you are. If you'll obey Him, He'll wash your sins away. And He'll do it right now.